It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning. Welcome to the Todd Leonard Show. It's a great privilege to be with you this morning. The genesis of the show, for the folks that are not familiar with it, is to really put the spotlight on folks that are helping others in the community. You know, we live in a world where a lot of people focus on the negative and there's great things going on in the community. And I wanted to make sure everybody recognizes that. So I was thinking about some folks to invite onto the show. And I was very, very lucky to contact my friend Bill Lockwood, who is the current president of the 200 Club, who I've gotten to know quite well over the last number of years. And I'm really impressed by who he is and what he stands for. So it's a great honor to have him on this morning. And I want to thank Bill for coming out so early in the morning to be with us. Bill, if you can you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, where you're from? And just tell the listeners, you know, who you are.
Morning. Thank you for inviting me here today. Pleasure to be here. Born and raised in Denville, New Jersey. Went to Marsh Knowles High School, graduated in 1981, so you guys can figure out my age from there. I have, you want to know about my family? You want to know what I do in the community, well, for starters?
Bill, yeah, so I just so the listeners get a little feel of who you are, because okay. I think that's going to be important as we kind of talk about your involvement in the community, to kind of figure out your upbringing and kind of where you are now. And if I may, you look very good. I just did some quick math, so you're looking
good.
Thank
God the people can't see it through the radio, so it's a wonderful thing. They don't know if you're lying or not, so.
Well, we'll see if you know, someone from the station posts pictures today. So tell us a little bit more. I understand you're obviously born and raised in Denville, and you're married with a beautiful family.
Yes, I'm married to my boss, Tara, and we have two wonderful children, Kira and Gavin. We live in Mount Olive, Flanders, New Jersey. I've been there since 2001, and ironically, that was the year that I got involved in the 200 Club of Marsh County.
Okay. And I would be remiss because I woke up early this morning and I saw a Facebook post. I understand your son is quite a football player.
You know, what we need, we don't need better athletes in this world. We need better surgeons, engineers. We need people that can lead us into the future. It's a wonderful thing to be a great athlete, but you need to be a better student and a better person first.
Okay. Well, no, I would totally agree with that.
But thank you for that. Yes, he is pretty good.
So, tell us a little bit more about yourself. What do you do, and where you know you're living in Mount Olive now?
Right, I live in Flanders, New Jersey. I'm currently involved I'm on four boards. I'm on the board for Mount Olive High School Varsity Football Club and Baseball Club, the Mount Olive Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm a board of trustee and president of the 200 Club of Mars County.
Right. So one of the interesting things about what I'm trying to hopefully shine a spotlight on is how do folks decide to give back in the community? What's the genesis? What all of a sudden makes someone decide it's not all just about me? Are there some things in you know in your youth that you could point to that kind of made you recognize the beauty of giving back?
I can tell you right now the exact moment in time where I realized to give back to help others in need. It was 1971. I was at St. Mary's Church in Denville, and my dad and mom were volunteering at bingo. They had bingo every Saturday night, which was the big thing when they used to smoke inside the gymnasium. And I thought the coolest thing in the world was to have pizza at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night at 8 years old. I thought I was King Farouk then. And that was the start of giving back and dedicating your life to helping other people. As corny as that sounds, we've always been that way. My dad and my mom raised me that way.
So would you say it was your parents that was instrumental in you being able to recognize at a young age that you saw your folks as like role models in that regard?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and what I find amazing is for a father who lost his father when he was in high school to be able to turn out the way he did and raise me the way I was to give to others, where he could, in his mind, could think, I'm selfish. You know, God took my father from me at such a young age. I had my dad until I was 51. And, I'm sorry, 54. And for him to raise me the way he did, I give him a lot of credit, you know, to instill that community awareness and to give back to. And you can give back to the community by just going to your local church and helping out a hospital, a school. It doesn't have to be on four different boards. It's just what I choose to do. I have that ability. I feel the busier that I am, the way I better manage my time.
In terms of the community involvement, so you were, you know, very young, 8 years old, and you saw your parents as great role models. Were there certain things that you started to become involved in as you started to, you know, get into your high school years and college years and carry through to this very moment?
I always, when my kids were young, I got involved in the community by help coaching. And I love that. I loved, you know, and I think I got to be honest with you, probably the main reason why I got involved in coaching, because I wanted to make sure my daughter would, I'd push her towards the good kids, as to say, which is what you try to do. You try to make better choices for them, you know, teach them to make good choices. And I got involved in it, and I had just was still playing baseball and softball and everything. And I started coaching, and I got bitten by the bug right there. I said, this is what I want to do. I want to give back. I want to volunteer in the community and volunteer with the sports organizations. And that blossomed into everything else that I'm involved in nowadays.
Okay, so you recognized you were making impacts in athletes' lives and making them hopefully better people as well, better citizens.
Better people. Right. You know, there's nothing like a child that looks up to you and says to you, you know, I get it, coach, you know, or thank you. You know, there's not a greater feeling in the world than have parents come over to you and say, thanks for coaching them. You know, you did a great job.
Yeah.
Can I jump in on that?
Sure.
Yeah, Ellen, please, please.
What I've learned sitting on the sideline with three boys that are athletes is that some of these kids are not necessarily going home to parents that are teaching them really good values. I mean, I see there's parents that are almost hard on their kids on the sidelines. And I'm like, that kid is going home to a parent who wants to support their kid, but really doesn't have the facilities to really build the character that goes along with that athlete. They just want their kid to be number one. They just want their kid to be the best. But I see it. I see kids crumble on the field, and not from the coaches or the teammates, from their parents on the sideline. So a coach who can recognize that a kid is like struggling, yep, whether a sport or at school or with their self-esteem, you'd be surprised. It's not, sometimes their own parents are not their best cheerleader. And I see that so much, it almost makes me sad.
Well, I hate to say this, and it's the truth, and because it's going to give kudos to my wife. My wife is right. I missed my calling in life. I should have been an AD, an athletic director. I should have been a coach. I should have been a gym teacher. I get it. But my satisfaction now is to, it's really irrelevant, and trust me, as an umpire and as a former coach, it's really irrelevant whether these kids win or lose. It's how they play the game. It's if you've given it your best effort on the field, you did not lose that game. I don't care what the score is, right? We don't, again, I'll reiterate on this back again, we don't need better athletes. We need better people.
Yeah, but Bill, and I agree with you 100%, but I know in the world everybody's focused on the outcome, and they don't understand really, is everyone just doing their best and growing from the experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I was blessed as a young kid. I grew up in Springfield, New Jersey, and I had great coaches. And to this very day, I bring up Facebook again, but one of the coaches who coached me in baseball, travel baseball, I'm still friends with on Facebook. And I look back and I realize how that shaped my life too, mm-hmm, about sportsmanship and doing your best. And there's a winner and a loser. My late dad taught me at a young age too, you're not going to win all the time, but you always want to be, you know, a good sport about it. And I think that kind of ties into what the subject is today, is with folks giving back. And I know people that coach give countless hours to help athletes and help them become not just very good athletes, but good people.
Well, we got to teach them, if I can interject it, we need to teach them to be good losers as well as good winners. Can you win with respect? Can you lose with respect? It's not the end of the world. You know, I when I umpire and they have a pitching change, I walk out to the mound and I take the ball and I rub it to the kid and I said, you know, this umpires don't make this game hard. It's the coaches and the parents that make the game. We're here to have fun. Just enjoy yourself. Your life's not going to change whether you win or lose this game.
Right. So obviously athletics have been very important to you. And I see obviously with your athletic background, you're coached. And I know you mentioned you're now doing an umpire. So I was joking with you before we started about the World Series. And now with basically the fans on you watching on TV can kind of really see the balls and strikes. And I know being an umpire can be a very difficult position to be in.
Since, thankless. Yes. Yeah, okay.
Thankless. You might need a bodyguard.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I did want to explore in some depth with you, something really near and dear to me, and I know very near and dear to you, is the 200 Club. You know, I'm proud to be a trustee of this great organization. I've seen firsthand your commitment, your enthusiasm for the organization. And I do want to spend some time talking about it since, you know, I live in Morris County. I'm raising my family in Morris County. I think it's a tremendous community. And once again, why I want to talk about folks like you giving back is, can you tell us about the 200 Club? Because one of the things that is kind of disappointing and which hopefully we can really change is not a lot of people know about it. And I was hoping maybe today it would help, you know, bring more recognition to this great organization. So if you can, Bill, can you talk a little bit about the beginning of the 200 Club and what that is? Because a lot of folks don't know it.
Detroit, Michigan, 1971, police officer was killed in the line of duty. People from the surrounding area got together and said, we need to take care of this widow and her children because her source of income has now been stopped by the line of duty death by their officer. That's where, in its infancy, that's where the 200 Club was born. In 1972, Arthur McGreevy, if you're familiar with Arthur's Tavern in Morris Plains, and five other gentlemen got together and said, there was a guy killed in line of duty. We need to take care of this. So they took it from Detroit, Michigan. And in essence, it was born right here in New Jersey. So those six gentlemen got together and started what is now the 200 Club of Morris County.
Right. And if I recall, because and obviously being active now in this great organization, I understand in its infancy, they only had maybe 40 or so members. How many members are there now today, Bill?
We have close to 1,000.
Right.
And the thing about, you know, everybody says, these guys are pitching the 200 Club. They need more members. They want more money. True and true. The more members that we have, the more benefits we can give to these first responders. And let's remember now, some of these first responders are not paid. These volunteer firemen that are out there, they are not paid. They do this for the pure love of it. And remember, they're leaving their families to come and help us in our time of need.
So if I may, if you'll permit, so you've been involved for quite some time now. If my math is correct, about 18 years.
Correct.
Okay. So what inspired you 18 years ago?
I'll tell you the exact story.
So yeah, please
all right. Go. So what this is, I'm a marketing executive for the Paddywhagon Moving and Storage. I got a call right after 9/11. I guess it was about 2 weeks later after 9/11. Frank McKenna from Care Environmental called me up. I didn't know Frank at the time. He said, I am Frank McKenna from the 200 Club Morris County. We're looking for local businesses to donate boxes. We're doing a relief effort at the Birchwood Manor. Would you be willing to donate 25 boxes? And I said, no, I'm not going to give you 25 boxes. Like I said, I'll give you all the boxes that you need, all the manpower and all the trucks. And after he picked the phone after dropping it, he said, who is this? And I said, who is this? We introduced each other again. 2 days later, I was a member of the 200 Club. Once I found out what it is that they do and the support that they show to first responders.
So I wanted to touch on that, Bill, and that's a wonderful thing through tremendous adversity. I mean, obviously, our country to this very day still feels the effects of 9/11. In fact, I drive every day to work, and I pass the beautiful tribute on Hanover Avenue.
Correct.
I guess that's Parsippany, I guess, technically, but it's a beautiful memorial. And you can never really lose sight of just the depth of how bad that was, but also how strong we were as a country. What made you, when you heard they were looking for 25 boxes, say, wait a minute, whatever you need? What made you all of a sudden just say, like, we're there for you?
Well, once he explained to me what type of a supportive organization he was of first responders, I thought of my uncle, who was a state trooper, my brother-in-law was a police officer, my brother-in-law was a fireman. And I knew deep down inside, and I guess I'm assuming every boy at some time in their lives wishes when they were a kid to be a fireman or a policeman. I had that dream. And I almost fulfilled that dream for the Port Authority Police Department in 1991. Took the app, passed, had my date to go in. All I had to do was sign my papers, and I was going to go through the academy. And I was raised by a nurse, and I figured I had a less chance getting shot working for the DPW in Denville, so I took that job. Do I regret that? No. Probably would have been working at 9/11 in the Port Authority. God knows where I would have been from there. I know I would have been working Ground Zero had I been in that department. So they say every decision in life takes you down a different road. And I, you know, I probably would have never met my wife, wouldn't have had my kids, wouldn't be where I am today, wouldn't be here today.
Well, that listen,
had I done that. So
we all know decisions, you know, certainly affect your life. In fact, I have a buddy of mine who was a lieutenant in the Port Authority. Mm. And he had a detail at Ground Zero. He never really talked about it, but I know it. So this very day, again, it really impacts him. But I think that, you know, once again, in tremendous adversity, you stood up and you helped the first responder community. Was that also in terms of the 200 Club because of, you know, your family's service in law enforcement, first responding community? Is that also something you think impacted your decision to get involved?
I had a lot of friends that were in Denville Police Department as well, and I always had the utmost respect. Dad always taught me, you know, say hi to the police officers, whatever. And I just you emulate them when you're a kid. And I guess some people who just don't think of themselves as firemen or policemen in their lifetimes don't do that. But I always did, and I was always passionate to give back somehow in some way. And trust me, I'm just one of 1,000 members that. I'm hoping, not everybody, but I'm hoping that at least the board members and a good population of this members do feel the same way that I do, that they don't just carry the 200 Club card as a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Right.
You know, to get out of tickets.
Right. And obviously the club stands for so many more wonderful things, in fact. And maybe you can. I know you talked about, God forbid, a first responder's lost in the line of duty. What benefits would be available to that family, God forbid, a tragedy?
Okay, so
struck?
let's take a line of duty death. It must be a line of duty death, obviously. the first responder has to work in Morris County. They're killed in the line of duty. It's a $30,000 payout, and it's given right before or right after the funeral. The check is issued. Now, let's say they have three children. Let's just say they're triplets, 5 years old. Each child at this point in time would get $10,000 a year for educational purposes until they reach college. Once they reach college, they get $15,000 for 4 years, or until they age out of the program at the age of 23, whichever one comes first. No strings attached. And by the way, we keep referencing 9/11. We've been taking care of a gentleman now who was an infant at the time. It was a direct result of 9/11. We've been taking care of him. I don't want to mention any names, but he's been receiving our benefits for 18 years now.
Right.
He's one of five that are receiving our benefits right now.
So in essence, the 200 Club stands for and really does want to be there when a family needs them the most.
And the time of need. And I also want you to note that that it's at such a sad point that we have this benefit. We also have a positive one that we give away. We give away $100,000 a year to children entering college who are themselves a volunteer first responder, or they have parents that are active in Morris County or have retired from Morris County, and it can be also New Jersey State Police as well. Don't want to forget Colonel Callahan. You don't get him upset. They can apply for our scholarship. We give out 20 $5,000 scholarships every year. We have about 90 applicants that come through our desk, and we have to be read. And there's six-tier criteria that they have to go over to qualify for this. And it's my favorite part of the year is calling. I get to call like three or four of those students that are receiving the award, and there's nothing like calling them. And I always make sure you're not driving. Pull over. I want to talk to you. The 200 Club. They know once they hear 200 Club, they applied for the scholarship. It's $5,000. Who's not going to take $5,000 going to college?
Right. I've had the great privilege of attending the actual scholarship awards winners banquet. on an annual basis in the last number of years, and I could see the joy in their eyes and really the pride of the parents. And I find that to be a really beautiful thing, part of the 200 Club. I want to talk a little bit. I just want to go back, Bill. If you were talking about the idea how you were raised with, you know, first responder community and a lot of respect for the folks that really protect us all. And I realize we live in a society where everybody wants to be a Monday morning quarterback, but I don't think they really recognize the tremendous peril that first responders put themselves at every moment to protect us all. This idea of respect, was that something just your parents instilled in you about, you know, first responder community?
Oh, absolutely. Mom and Dad were, you know, I can remember my dad holding my hand walking on sidewalks and there'd be ants crawling all over. And Dad'd say, there's no reason to kill those ants. They didn't do us any harm. They need to eat. They need to feed their families, whatever. As corny as that sounds, that's the basis. That's the groundwork of the getting involved and giving to others.
Right.
And I've always been that way, and my brothers and sisters are the same way.
Well, that's a beautiful thing to have that spirit in your family. Ellen, I just want to get your perspective as well in terms of the first responder community and how you feel about, you know, the efforts they put in really 24/7, 365 at any given moment. You never know when they're going to be called into service. And God forbid there is an emergency. Everyone that's critical of the police are always the first one to beg and plead and pray to God they get there very quickly. What's been your experience with the first responder community?
Well, it's interesting because I am unlike your guest, and I don't have any family members or really anybody in our long family bloodline who has really served in this capacity. My father did serve, you know, back, you know, in his day, but really more recently, we don't have that. So I'm usually in awe. You wouldn't think that I would be in awe, but I'm usually in awe of people that are giving of themselves without really getting anything in return. I was in Dunkin' Donuts a few weeks back and I treated to coffees to two of the, you know, I guess emergent, you know, they just...
You paid it forward.
I paid it forward because I know there's times where I've had, you know, my kid was 1 year old and he wasn't breathing right. And the first people to come show up at your house, a lot of these people are, you know, working just because they believe in the good that you want to give. So I'm usually in awe and I think my kids are in awe. And, you know, I try to instill in my kids like you that everybody is good in our world. Don't judge people by their salary. Don't judge people by what they make. Judge people by who they are. And I talk to everybody I meet the same. I don't care who you are, what job you hold, what kind of house you live in. I always divide people into good people and not good people. Mm-hmm. And I feel anybody who is putting themselves, like you said, in arm's way or taking the time out of their day to volunteer, I mean, literally in awe. That's really the good person. That's really the person that we should be giving in our society more credit to. They may not be living in the big house. They may not, but those are the people that really are the good people, not necessarily someone who has a lot of money and can give out, for example, Halloween, the extra long. I'm not saying it's not good to get the extra big Kit Kat, but there's a lot of people that are really serving our communities that don't get the pat on the back or the, you know, the accolades, you know, that they should be getting. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's kind of how I feel.
I think there's also, and on the other side of the coin too, and I don't hear this as much as, well, I do hear it, and I just don't like to hear it. There's a stigma that, you know, people say, well, why do I want to pay $200 a year to be a member when these caps are paid? They're paid really well. Okay. What person do you know that took a job that said, I hope I get shot at. I hope people hold a grudge against me. I hope people, there's first responders that can't, standard procedures, firemen cannot enter an area where the police have been called in until the police have cleared it out first. No fireman puts a bullseye on his back and says, I hope I get shot today. Or I hope that somebody, you know, does something derogatory to me today because of the fact that, you know, they signed up because they were passionate about their life, that they wanted to give back, that they wanted to help others. And no, that stigma should never be attached to a policeman or a fireman that they signed up for this. Anybody that says that is number one, not well educated, or just
naive,
misinformed about the reasons why these men and women get involved. And that's my biggest beef, pet peeve.
So Ellen's experiences like mine in terms of, I've never had the privilege of having anyone in my immediate family in law enforcement. But also at a young age, I always saw how my parents treated law enforcement, and obviously all kids growing up, you want to be a policeman, firefighter. My late dad happened to be a lawyer and he was my hero, so I followed in his footsteps. But I always understood the sacrifice, and I saw the commitment first responders had. In fact, a lot of the first responders are volunteers. They're on the ambulance squads. They man those 24 hours a day. They're firefighters that are volunteers in a lot of the communities in Morris County. And I also saw an opportunity, and why I wanted to get involved is just to say thank you for what they do every day, first responding community, because we all do take it for granted, unfortunately. And it's something you never really want to take for granted, because you never know when you might need someone to come and really save you or someone you love. And Bill, let's, if we may, I just want to talk again a little bit about, you're now the president of the 200 Club, right? And I know you're near your second year of the term, but you started out 18 years ago. Did you ever envision that you were going to ultimately be the president of such a great organization? Because I've been privileged, like I said, to be one of the trustees. And I see just some tremendous folks that have really ascended to the presidency. Did you know back when you got involved 18 years ago that you're ultimately going to assume this important mantle of the organization?
No. I had no idea. I didn't think I'd ever be able to put the time in. And hopefully my boss isn't listening to know that I have put the time in to have this great opportunity.
Right. So here's what, Bill, if I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just want to take a short break.
Okay.
And, I want to follow up and learn more about how you've ascended to that position.
For over 30 years, the Todd J. Leonard Law Firm has helped thousands of clients following all types of serious personal injury accidents and has recovered over $100 million on their behalf. Todd Leonard is certified by the Supreme Court of New Jersey as a trial attorney and has dedicated his entire legal career to providing outstanding personal injury representation to his clients and their families. The Todd J. Leonard Law Firm takes great pride in helping their clients and are very proud of their 5-star reviews. If you've been seriously injured or lost a loved one in a car accident, slip and fall accident, truck accident, motorcycle accident, or injured on the job, they have the experience and the proven results that you can trust. Call them now for a free confidential consultation at 973-920-7900 or visit their website at lawleonard.com to learn more about their firm. Their headquarters are conveniently located on Route 10 in Denville. Put their team of experienced New Jersey personal injury trial lawyers to work for you now.
Welcome back to the Todd Leonard Show. We have the great honor once again of having Bill Lockwood in the studio. I understand, though, during the break we have a caller. We'd love to hear from this caller. Do you have a question for us?
I do. Hi. My name is Kayla, and I was just wondering, does every county have a 200 club? I know a firefighter who was lost in the line of duty, and it would have been nice to have that kind of support.
Well, we're sorry about your loss. President Lockwood, Bill, can you let us know about that?
There are numerous counties with 200 clubs. I'll just give you a quick list that I know of, aside from the Morris. We have Union, Passaic, Bergen, Sussex, Essex, and Ocean. I'm sorry if I've missed any others, but those are the ones that come to my mind right now. So, yes, there are other support organizations of the 200 Club in the state.
Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Thank you so much. This show is incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill, I wanted to get back to kind of how you've really started, 18 years ago, and now you're the president, actually finishing up your second year of being the president. You've done an outstanding job. Can you just kind of walk us through how that all kind of happened, how you started, and now you're on the second year of a presidency?
Well, when I first did get asked to join the organization, after a couple of years, I just felt like I wasn't giving back enough. I wanted to get more involved. So Lori Richmond, our club administrator, as long as I've been there, Lori's been there. She's been longer than me. I kept saying, I want to get involved. And finally, I was enough of a pest that they started putting me on different committees. There's about 10 committees. I'm on 8 of them right now. The first one they put me on was the dinner and hospitality committees, which basically I was a greeter at the front door. I got to meet everybody. I got to meet all the winners of the Valor Meritorious Awards dinner. And I got bitten by the bug there. I wanted to get more involved. And each year they asked me to do more and got more committees. And it blossomed from there.
Right. And you touched on the Valor and Meritorious Awards, which I've had the great privilege last year of sitting on that committee. And I'll just say that I was beyond struck by just the tremendous efforts put in by the first responder community, such wonderful people putting it all on the line every day to protect us. And I know that, you take that role very seriously as well to make sure the organization does its best so no one feels slighted, but that you really do try to, we really do try to select the outstanding recipients from year to year. Ellen, did you have a question in terms of basically how this is funded?
Yeah, I actually did. Obviously, you're doing these, you pay out to these people, you're taking care of kids for years. I mean, you said you were taking care of one from September 11th who was almost in infancy. So that's, 20, could be 23 years that you're following this child and funding them. I'm hoping there's not that many, people killed in the line of duty on a yearly basis. You would not want to think that those numbers are big. But how is this funded? I know, is this really just straight finances that people donate into this fund?
In order to be a member of the 200 Club Morris County, and this is how we came up with the 200, the dues are $200 a year. And we have almost 1,000 members. So if you do the math, we bring in almost $200,000 every year. We give away $100,000 plus all the dependents' fees that we're giving out every year. We always hope for a good year in a sense where nobody dies.
Right.
Financially, it's good when the members age out of the program because then those payments will stop as well.
Right.
And, we hope another 9/11 doesn't happen because that'd be the worst thing for this country and as an organization. Just know that the 5 people that we have in our organization that are reaping the awards, the benefits from us, we have money set aside so that if we had to close our doors tomorrow, we could fulfill our obligation to them right up to the age of 23.
Right. But for the listeners, mm-hmm. $200, one very expensive dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You could donate that $200, skip one dinner, and know that you have now contributed to a fund that is going to help people in great need. Especially for people who feel very blessed. I know Todd says that a lot. A lot of us feel like, we're lucky. You mm-hmm. feel lucky. A lot of days I like to, think my glass is half full, not half empty. And it just doesn't seem like a lot of money, $200,
right.
At least for I'm not speaking for everybody, but to get so much out of it and to know that $200 is going to someone in your community is really, I think, pretty special. And I did not know about this 200 club.
So as human beings, we're creatures of habit and we tend to take things for granted. We don't realize how much we are afforded in this, I'm going to use the United States because that's all I can really speak for. First responders are taken for granted. And I mean that in the nicest way. When you dial 911, like if one of us went into cardiac arrest right now, we could dial 911 and without a doubt, we know someone would show up. But we don't want to know where they're coming from, what their family life is like, what they're going through. We just want them to come here. That is being taken for granted. You have to understand that these people, these men and women, are leaving their families. Okay, because we're all sitting around celebrating Thanksgiving in 28 days, 27 days. Something's going to happen that day. There's going to be calls. And they're going to have to leave their families
to take care of ours.
To take care of ours. We can't, as a society, just take that for granted. That's not what they signed up for. Don't use that analogy on me. Please, you, by joining the 200 Club Morris County, you're saying, we do care about you. We thank you for doing that. And as I always like to say, one thing a first responder will never ask you is when they arrive at your front door is, what political party are you? And we could learn a lot from not using that statement just in life in general, but that's another topic.
Right. So, Bill, in terms of, you know, we touched on it a little bit, but maybe a lot of folks are not really familiar with this Valor and Meritorious Award banquet that's held every year to really celebrate and say thank you to these incredible first responder community. You know, we know we had some incredibly difficult times last year, and the first responders, you know, handled it magnificently. Can you just talk a little bit about that part of the 200 Club and what that really stands for and your perspective on it?
So every year, around April, mid-April, late April, we have what we call a Valor and Meritorious Awards Dinner, where we recognize first responders who have gone above and beyond the call of duty and a step above that for valor, have put their life at risk. We get submissions from police, fire, EMS, and state troopers. We read through them with members who are retired from the active duty so we can get their input. We have retired police chiefs. We have the sheriff, Jimmy Gannon. We have firefighters that have retired. And we get their input to find out if it was just a normal routine run of the day job experience that they did their job, or did they do something that they went above and beyond the call of duty. That's meritorious. Valor is putting their life on the line. Their life was at significant risk. And we recognize them, and we have a dinner, and we present awards there. Now, the submissions that we get, some of them are really good. Some it's amazing. Now, we get the filtered down ones, okay? Because obviously, just to protect people and their identities, we get the filtered down ones. So we, and they have to go through the police chiefs and the fire chiefs and the EMTs and the NJS state police. So by the time that we get it, we have to make a decision based upon our experience and the people experienced people in a room, whether or not these are willing, or these are deserving of receiving our awards. And, you know, sometimes we upset some people along the line and where they felt they deserved it and they didn't get it. And we can't help that. You're not going to please all the people all the time, but I think that, especially since I became president, I think we have raised the bar a little bit in a sense where I made it a little bit more tougher in a sense not to discredit any of the efforts that's been put forth by the men and women out there, but I don't want our awards to seem watered down. This is not a participation award. Nobody joined to be a first responder to receive awards, in my heart. They joined to help others.
Right, and amen to that. I mean, there's no question about. And like I said, I had the great benefit and privilege to listen and really discuss some of these heroic efforts this past year. And it was really staggering, really, how they put their lives on the line to protect folks in really horrific situation. We had the horrible bus crash, and God bless all the first responders. We had that beautiful banquet this past year at the Birchwood. And it was really poignant. You know, one of the survivors was there, and it was a very touching moment, which I think speaks to the essence of the 200 Club and really what the organization stands for. So, Billy, you know, you've been involved now for, this will be your second year as the president, and I know you go around to local organizations to kind of spread the word, the gospel, mm-hmm. to really educate the public. Because I, once again, you know, I've been living in this great county for like 25 years, and I didn't always know about the 200 Club. I'm embarrassed to tell you. And
pretty much my whole life, yeah. And I didn't know about it. I did go to Hoboken for 10 years and Maryland for 4, but that still leaves a lot of years that I didn't know about this organization.
Right. So, and that's something that the beautiful thing of your appearance today is to really put a spotlight on the organization, the great works that the club stands for. And so tell us a little bit more about what you've been doing to really get the word out on the street, especially in this great county, about the 200 Club and really what the true essence is.
My job, my responsibility as the president of the 200 Club Morris County, is to create social awareness and educate not only first responders, but the general public on what it is that the 200 Club does. Because there are a lot of first responders out there that don't know of us. And that kills me. That makes me sad. And we face that challenge. Yes, we want to increase our membership. But what are we going to do with that money? The money does us no good if it's sitting in a bank, if we're not helping somebody. And to be quite honest with you, this is the perfect time to announce it. I'm trying to instill a new award for the 200 Club of Morris County. I want to have a benefit, and it comes from the police officer in Mount Arlington that was run over by a car directing traffic. He will never work again a day in his life as a police officer. I want to have a one-time payout of $10,000. It's not going to solve his financial problems, but it could put a wheelchair ramp in his house, could put safety bars around his house, enlarge all his doors for wheelchair access, things that are going to help his life immediately, impact his life for the better. So that's one of the other, it's the end of my term. I'm trying to push it through. We can create our own criteria for that award, but that's one of the main things that I'm trying to push now, because again, the money doesn't do us any good. It's just sitting in the bank. I want to get it into the hands of the first responders where they can make their lives better.
I have a question on that.
Yes.
So my spouse is killed in the line of duty. Mm-hmm. Do you get notified by the police departments? Because they are aware. So I don't need to know as a private citizen, married or father or parent, I don't necessarily need to know about the 200 Club, but you would be notified.
You may never know. We do. There is, and I don't want to mention any names because she has asked us not to mention any names, but there is somebody who's receiving our benefit who lives obviously local because they're local. They're receiving our award. I know them because they live close by. She doesn't want the fanfare involved with that. She received our money. She received $30,000. Her children received money. They still are for educational purposes. That's fine. So we don't get a lot of exposure in that sense. And so that opportunity there to market ourselves, it's really not a marketable opportunity unless I owned a funeral home. So I don't really, we don't push that issue. Right. So what I do is I go around and I speak to Rotaries, right. Knights of Columbus. I've been to a couple of wet downs. Chambers of Commerce. And I explain to the people. And obviously, always encourage them to be members because we could always use more members. I explain to them what it is that we do, how we support our first responders. And once you understand the philosophy behind our club and the reason why we started, it's just a wonderful organization. And that's what I believe in it.
That's one of the reasons why I'm involved too. It's a chance to say thank you and give back and come in contact with great guys like you and so many wonderful men and women. If someone does want to support the 200 Club, is there some contact information, Billy, that they can reach out to since we've been talking about it for a while this morning? Is there a number or a website they could visit to really educate themselves about it? And if they really do want to step up and I agree with Ellen, a very nominal contribution. Money's tight nowadays, but still to say thank you to the first responder community and to be accepted into the club, assuming you would meet the criteria, how would they go about it?
Well, here's the funny thing, and I try to make light of this, is yes, it's a financial commitment of $200 a year. We ask for that payment in December, and that is the season of giving. And what I always feel like is when I pay that $200, I'm not just taking care of one police officer. I'm taking care of a whole county, Morris County. So I write that check and I say, hey, I'm giving back. I'm buying a present for somebody because it is a present. Because my $200 now turns into a $30,000 death payment. It turns into $100,000 in scholarships, and it also has financial assistance to people that are still in school paying for their education just by me writing that $200 check.
Right.
So they can join. You can go to 200clubofmorriscounty.com. You can find our information there. You can sign up there. You have to be recommended by a current member. You can't just join. You have to have a reference. If you know me, if I went to school with you, if I've worked with you, if I've done work for you, Billy Lockwood, if I've done work for you, you have my recommendation. Go to 200clubofmorriscounty.com.
Are the members listed so you can see if there's someone that you know? Or
well, if you came to our Valor and Meritorious Awards dinner this year on April 23rd at the Birchwood Manor, a plug for Michael Marino there, you can meet quite a few of the members. And on 11/11, we are having our annual members dinner. And as long as you are a member, it does not cost you anything. It's $80 a plate. If you are not a member now and you want to attend that dinner at 6 o'clock at the Birchwood Manor on November 11th, if you join that night, the meal is free.
Wow.
So
your $80 goes towards your $200 investment. You're halfway there.
Correct. And you'll get a nice shiny gold card. It looks like American Express card that you'll carry around and proudly show to anybody that wants to know what the 200 Club is. And you can explain to them exactly what we do. Time to take care of the people that take care of us.
No question about it, Bill. I just want to go back to what you brought up, which I think is a great idea, is this additional award for a first responder who thankfully was not killed in the line of duty but had a very life-altering significant injury, which really creates a tremendous disability in their life. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I fully would support it as well. And we look forward under your direction, hopefully get that before the full board for a vote. I wanted to also just, because you touched on this upcoming event, and it's something I always look forward to as well. You touched on the event. It's only 10 days away, November 11th at the Birchwood. Tell us a little bit more about really what somebody would be able to benefit from if they were to attend that event.
Well, I know a lot of people are a little reluctant to join organizations because they say they don't have time to attend the meetings, this, that, and that. We have three meetings a year. That's if you're on the board. If you're just a regular member of the 200 Club, you're not in any way obligated to show up for anything at any time. We just ask that you renew your membership every year. If you want to come to the annual dinner for free, fine. If you want to come to the Valor Meritorious Awards Center, it's going to run you between $70 to $85 a head. But again, what is it going for? It's honoring these people that have put their lives on hold for the moment or have put their lives at risk. I mean, I can sit here and list the what they've done and how they put their lives at risk. But come to this annual dinner every year and see the people. Listen to the actions. Our MC Jimmy Gannon, the sheriff, explains in detail exactly what happened.
Right. So just going back to this event coming up in only about 10 days from now at the Birchwood, I understand that that's an important event. It's held every year, and certainly we hope there's a lot of folks that'll come out and meet the heroes in our community. In terms of just you go to these local organizations to build up awareness, the Rotary Clubs, the Knight of Columbus, the Chamber of Commerce. You mentioned the wet downs, and look, I think I know what you're talking about, but maybe everyone
does. Have you ever been to one?
I have to tell you, I have never.
I've been to
been
a couple. One in the last 2 years. It was for Bud Lake, I believe it's Engine 55. Shout out to Bobby Sheard up there. So what the town does is after the purchase is complete, they have what they call a wet down. They bring in the rig on a big open field or a big parking lot. They have bands, beer vendors up there, Jersey Girl beer, everything. They bring in other fire departments. They invite other fire departments to come in there and literally wet down the new truck. And it is... I tell you, it's quite moving. I got chills watching this because, Manilov just spent almost.
Say how much these trucks cost?
Almost, it was a little over $900,000,
almost $1 million to put a truck on the road.
Whippany's getting one that's 1.2.
Wow.
Mars Plains.
Again,
Mars Plains
we take it for granted. These trucks, you're like, it's got to pull back into the thing.
Sight,
I got to wait up
mind.
A minute.
They don't want to know.
$1 million truck.
And think about, and just also just let's remember too, not to to end the wet down thing, but think of all the training these guys go through. And again, some of them are volunteers.
Right.
Like a couple of Bud Lake guys were just up there training down, I believe he said, in Somerset. These guys train all the time.
Right.
In classrooms for hours on end.
Right.
For what? To take care and
maintain.
And I don't want to say for what, for a mere $200? For what they do, for the time that they put in, just believe me, if you have time, stop into a police department, stop into a fire department, they'll open the door to you. Find out what they do, what it is to do. They want to be approached.
We did birthday parties. I did a few of my kids' birthday parties at
They do coffee stations. With a cop all the time. Do the same thing with firefighters and
it's
EMTs.
Amazing. Yep.
You know, these people that ride around in these ambulances, they're not going because they're lost. They're going driving around trying to help people.
Yep.
Yeah, just once again with the training, which is extraordinary. I know at the awards banquet last year, it was incredible, the training, how it paid off for the Kinnelin Police Department, saved some folks, the Denville Police Department saved some folks. You know, it's countless stories of just the commitment the first responder communities really do every day to make sure they're prepared and ready at a moment's notice. I would only other say that things that I've noticed lately, which I think is a great idea, is the local first responder community, especially the police department, they're really reaching out to the community. You know, I live in the community with my young boys, and we're raising our kids there. And they're now giving out like baseball cards of officers. Mm-hmm. I know they do that in Parsippany, which is a really great way for folks in the area to see the honor and see these are just like everyone else. And it kind of opens up, I think, a great dialogue. I think that that's a beautiful thing.
That's what I mean by like stopping into a police department. Like in October, they sell breast cancer awareness patches, the actual patches that the officers wear on their uniforms. And they sell pink ones. And you can go into the departments and you can ask to buy them, and it supports them. And you can start that conversation. Oh, I had this the other day, whatever. Just start a conversation.
Right. I've also seen with our children in the school system, the police come in at a very early age. They introduce themselves. There's a lot of the DARE, you know, awareness of stay off drugs and to be good citizens. But also the kids, the youngsters are able to get into the cruisers or the fire trucks for that matter. And it's a beautiful experience. You know, I think it's a wonderful program. Billy, in terms of just, you know, your interaction with the public on behalf of the 200 Club, is there other things that you want to share with the public about the club and about your interaction with them and maybe that what they're not aware of? I know we went over a lot this morning, but is there other things that you think is beneficial for being involved?
Well, the most important thing is for me as president is to increase awareness, increase membership, which in turn increases the benefits. Like I had mentioned before, starting a new benefit for the officers and the first responders to where if they're hurt in the line of duty, they can have some sort of financial compensation. A one-time payout, you know, we can create our own criteria for that. Again, I'm pushing that, but it's important to me because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
You know, there's never a wrong time to do the right thing, and there's never a right time to do the wrong thing.
So, you know, you were touching on a little bit earlier, and it was kind of poignant because it talks about, like, you know, crossroads in your life. And if you went one way, you did one thing, you may not have met your love of your life, or you could have had another job. But, you know, we always end up where we are because usually it's just how things work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought up earlier, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have the show is to talk about great people like yourself giving back. And, you know, I know you talked about when you're just 8 years old and you saw your parents in Denville at bingo and you saw the kind of people they were. Did you ever envision now, you know, still look great, but you're getting a little older in life, that you'd ever think
that— Is the gray
showing? Well, we could change that. That's pretty easy
to change.
You
can't see it on radio, so.
But the point is, did you ever envision that at this point in your life, you would be where you are and be able to kind of carry on your parents' tradition and hopefully instilling your children as well about the importance of giving back?
You know what? It's Dad's only gone in about 2 years. It's still tough to talk about him. So, but he was the main influence on me as well as my mom. So that's what motivates me. That's what drives me. You know, that's what drives my kids. You know, they motivated them as well. So, yes, I'm never going to lose that passion. Right? Never will.
Right. And listen, I lost my dad. It's been over 10 years. I think about him all the time. I lost my mom almost 6 years ago. So they're always with you at all moments, and you certainly carry on. But you should be proud of what you've done and what you've instilled in your children, and really you've instilled in me. You know, I've seen firsthand, and why I was so happy to have you on is I saw your commitment and enthusiasm to help others. You know, it's a huge commitment time-wise. I know you're very successful at what
you
do.
It is.
You wear a lot of hats, Billy. Mm. And to see you give back in the way you do is pretty staggering to me, because I see you go to all these events. You know, you go to different organizations. You spearhead all these meetings, these annual events as well. And you do it with such grace and such passion, which is a blessing to you. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, how honored I've been to have you as part of the show today, since,
thank you,
candidly, this is what the show is going to be about. And a great part is folks like you that give back, don't think about themselves, make our community better and stronger. To reach out, you know, if you can't thank a first responder, I think there's something wrong with you, because I don't care who you are. God forbid something happens bad, you want your first responder there. And I think it's a great organization. I'm certainly very proud to be part of it as well. Is there anything else you want to tell us in parting in terms of just your volunteerism and giving back?
Well, I have a very simple philosophy. You know, we're all trying to provide for our families and to do the just, you know, financial stability. Bottom line is, folks, it's not what we take from this world. It's what we leave behind for our kids. And I try to instill into my kids to give back to the community, to help others, and that's what it's all about. You can achieve all the fame and fortune, but it's not going to buy you health, and it's not going to buy you protection from what God has planned for you. But the best thing I can do, in my opinion, is to take care of the first responders, take care of the people that take care of us.
And there's no question. I mean, that's why I'm so proud to have you on today, Bill. Once again, I know you had to wake up early to be on the show. And I can't thank you enough for just being part of the show today. I'm hoping that our great community might take additional notice about the 200 Club, so it's not such a secret.
I hope so.
You know, it is something that's still somewhat baffling to all of us who love the 200 Club, why it's still a secret. Mm-hmm. We want to certainly spread the gospel. And as well as there's so many other great things going on in Morris County and throughout this area. And one of the things that I'm going to do my very best is to bring folks like you on that are really the essence of volunteerism, the essence of good people. You know, Ellen touched on it. It's pretty easy to spot good people, and you're good people. I'm going to do my best to bring on good people.
Don't let that get around.
That will be, well, it's true. And folks, that will be role models for all of us, because you're a role model to me. And hopefully some of our listeners will also be inspired to step up and help others as well, because we all know we're in this together. And I know we live in a world sometimes where there's just too much negativity. There needs to be folks like you that people know exist, that know that everyone does really care, and that it's a blessing to have you here, and it's a blessing for everything you do. And I would have to say, God bless the first responder community. It's
Amen.
An incredible thing that they do every day for all of us. And I look forward to having, you know, many more shows in the future. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It was an honor.